You're tuned to Sound Effect on 88.5 FM. I'm Jennifer Wing. We've all experienced that unsettling feeling of not knowing where we are. Maybe it was in a new city with a complicated subway system, or that road out in the country late at night when it's dark and the right turn you're supposed to make never shows up. Well, it turns out there are millions of specific cells in our brain that control how we get to a new place. Dr. Sherry Mizumori is a professor of psychology at the University of Washington. She studies these cells that determine why we sometimes lose our way. And Dr. Mizumori says these cells are all in one part of the brain, the hippocampus. It's right behind your ears. And these cells, they have different jobs. There are the grid cells. So say you're looking at a map of Seattle.
One of the first things you might want to do is try to understand the overall organization of this city. And oftentimes, your brain is naturally predisposed to organize information according to grids. It's almost like having a latitude and longitude. It provides the rest of the brain with this kind of a scaffold, a spatial scaffold, this grid.
And into the grid, the brain plugs these things in called place cells.
Those are cells that fire when an individual either looks at or enters into particular locations in space.
Like your home or the Space Needle, these cells attach meaning and memory to a specific place. And as you get older, the cells grow and develop in your hippocampus.
And if you go through the same locations over and over again, you're going to activate and sequence these same place cells over and over again. And now we know that the hippocampus seems to be responsible for your ability to remember those sequences. If the hippocampus were damaged, as often it's, for example, in Alzheimer's patients, you find that you have this inability to develop these new sequences, and hence that's probably related to their getting lost.
How did you go about discovering that these individual cells are connected with our sense of direction and our memory?
We record the brain areas that are affected, for example, hippocampus, in freely behaving rodents. In my case, it would be rats. And so we can record and listen in to these cells to understand what information is being represented by each cell. And what we find is that as an animal becomes more experienced with these paths that it makes in an environment, these sequences get stronger and stronger. And not only that, if the animal is now taken out of the environment and say, go to sleep in its home cage, what you'll find is that those same cells will be reactivated, or they will replay in the same sequence. It's as if the brain is practicing, rehearsing this information that the animal just experienced.
So what is going on when we're trying to get to a new location, whether we're in a car or on foot, and we have looked at a map and we think we know where we're going, and then we have that, oh my gosh, no, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I am officially lost.
So when you look at a map, you're looking at a 2D representation of your environment, and you have not actually gone through that environment. And it ends up that your memories are much stronger, and you remember where you are and where you're headed, where you've been, and so on, if you actually experience that environment, which is why it's hard when you just look at a map in 2D and then start walking around, and you're still, for the first time, putting together information and plugging it into that memory of that 2D map.
And why is it that some people are better at looking at a map and getting from point A to point B, and other people are not?
Different people have different strategies when they're learning an environment. For myself, I'm a visual spatial learner, so I actually imagine a 2D or 3D representation of the environment that I need to go to, and I make my plans that way. Other folks will learn their way through an environment by learning a sequence of cues or responses that they've made. For example, I go two blocks forward, and then make a right turn, then I make a left turn, and so on. And they remember those instructions. And so different people are more adept at one or the other strategies, and so it may appear as if they're better because maybe they can not get lost as often. The other piece is that what we know from studying those sequences of place cells is that the more you rehearse these sequences, the better you are, the stronger the memory. And so that might give us a clue as to what we have to do to improve our memory is to rehearse just mentally, and then that will help us.
For people who tend to get lost, what's the advice that you give them?
My advice would be, for example, if I go hiking, I tend to get lost when I hike sometimes. And so what I've learned to do is that as I'm going along and I go a certain distance, I rehearse in my mind, you know, what pattern of behaviors did I make? How far did I go to make right turn, left turns? I look back to see, to have the visual image in my head. And so that gets connected to that information about my behavioral strategies that I just used. And that seems to help me, at least I like to think so, it seems to help me from getting lost. And so the more you consciously do that, the better your memories will be.
We're surrounded by screens on our phones, in our cars, and does this access to digital maps and directions affect our spatial memory and our ability to find our way?
We do know that by looking at results from experiments done when subjects are looking at screens versus freely behaving in their environment, you see a lot of similarities in terms of these place cells and the responsiveness and the grid cells. But you also find that in the neural recordings that there's more crisp, sharp representations in the freely behaving animals, presumably because as you're moving around, you have other kinds of sensory information coming in that helps those fields to become more sharper. You know, in a way, that makes sense because when you have control over your behavior and you see an outcome as you're navigating, you tend to learn better. For example, if you're driving a car, you would learn a particular route much more quickly, more efficiently, because you're in control of your behavior and you're actually engaging with the environment as opposed to a passenger who's sitting in the passenger seat and just passively watching the same information that you are. They're just not actively engaging in it.
Or if you're a driver and you're looking outside for physical landmarks versus mm-hmm. looking at the blue line on your screen that's at eye level on your dashboard.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Based on what you're saying, when someone says that they're not good with directions or they have no sense of direction whatsoever, this is not true, correct?
I would say that it's not true, that everybody has some sense of direction. I think there's a lot of individual difference in ability to learn new neighborhoods, and a lot of that is with practice, actually. And so, for example, if you travel a lot and you go to a lot of different foreign cities, pretty soon you develop skills about how to get around and figure out how to get around these different places, even though you can't speak the language. And so it's those kinds of skills that can be polished and honed. And sometimes it has to be very intentional because it doesn't come so easy for some folks because they're not used to doing that.
But everyone has the ability to do it, and it can get better if we practice.
Yes.
Well, Sherry, Ms. Mori, thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you for inviting me.